Hey, this is LOA Today, the Law of Attraction show.
Truth, because I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Because I'm happy.
Welcome to LOA Today. This is Walt Thiessen and Joel Elson coming to you on YouTube as we record for our PRN show to be aired this coming Thursday on the 23rd. But we're actually recording this today, which is on June 18th. And we tried to do this like about a month ago, and it didn't work. But today it seems to be working, Joel, so we have reason to celebrate. We can actually do our broadcast live with video so that people who want to hear us and watch us do the recording can be there as it happens.
Well, this has been a goal of ours. It's part of the evolution of our program, and it's been almost a comedy of errors of us getting here, and we've tried it several weeks. So minimally, the experiment's working, and I hope our audience enjoys this new aspect of it. But our content's going to remain pretty much the same, and we at some point are going to be able to add guests, and that'll be a really awesome thing too. So I love where we're going with this.
That's one of the things that doing this Hangouts on Air on YouTube does for us, because it makes it easier for us to include guests. We still have to experiment to see exactly how that's going to work. But as I understand it, we should be able to almost add people on the fly. And if we can do that, that would be really fantastic. It is a little bit tricky to get somebody in the first time, so we may have to experiment with it. But, hey, at least the potential's there, and that would be really great to have members of the audience, you know, not just tuning in, but participating, asking questions, telling stories, and so forth, because that just increases the energy level of the show.
Well, it actually reminds me, you know, because of our diligence in doing this, you know, most people would, or not most people, but a lot of people with that negative connotation toward it. At some point, it's like, you and I never, I mean, we had our frustrating moments with this, but there wasn't a time that we weren't laughing about the process and you know, always, you know, it was light humor. If we got it done, we got it done. We knew eventually it would get done. So, you know, with that, it sort of gives us that idea that we got to keep at it. We got to keep going. And what's going to happen is going to happen. And we can only do our part. And, you know, it just so the audience knows, Walt's end was all done perfectly. Joel's end, we had to bring in some hired guns to get it all fixed up, but it was Joel's end that was causing the problem.
But to be fair, Joel's end actually got fixed because Joel has some really good cards he could play with some people he had helped in the past, and they just came right to the rescue at no charge, which was wonderful. But it's not like everything was all Joel's fault, because it wasn't.
But within the context of what we're doing, I think it sort of leads to, you know, everybody's challenged with no matter what you get, whether it's trying to get your show on the air or whether it's trying to do what, you know, get a new job. I have a great story this week of a young man, a brand new client. And he came in, basically his mother said, she's tried traditional therapists, everything, and he just hasn't been successful. So she said, I found this guy and I need you to see him or you're going to have to move out. He's 26 years old, has not done anything for several years. And it's just a really failure to launch kind of rough situation. So he comes in with this horrible attitude with me and rolling his eyes, and he sits down, and I said, well, you really seem happy to be here. And you know,
the sarcasm comes out.
Yeah. And he said, well, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. He said, but you're not going to tell me anything that I don't already know. And I go, did somebody tell you I was supposed to tell you something you don't already know? I said, I'm not planning on that. And he, you know, that sort of got him off. You know, we started laughing about that. And I started talking to him about his attitude. I said, what's your inner dialogue? What is your day like? What do you tell yourself? And of course he was telling himself all of these things that just over the years have become fact. And that's what I've done for years. That's what you've done for years. A lot of our listeners do. It's so easy to get caught up on that negative, you know, where you're in that, oh, you know, I'm unemployable. I have a criminal record, whatever your stuff is. And you know, I have bad credit. So he had a negative answer for every suggestion that I had.
Isn't that amazing how good we are at that too? We yes. can come up with a negative answer for anything. It's amazing.
Right. And so I said, so I said, I'll tell you what, I said, let's change this around. I said, tell me, I want to give you a scenario. I want your first response to be why it could work instead of why it can't work.
How long did that come up?
Oh, he couldn't get past the first one. He was so conditioned to tell me, I said, and after about a minute, he said, I can't come up with any reason of how it could work. And I said, okay, so give me the five reasons, just limit it to five of why it can't work. And he'd go, boom, 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 boom. The five reasons right off the bat why it couldn't work. And so once he realized, he said, my God, I am so conditioned to automatically dismiss everything.
Wow,
exactly. And so I said, so minimally, I said, even if we can't get to why, if we have to, you and I've talked about this, if there's the, you know, there's the clear negative, which is clearly negative. Then you have almost the neutral point, which is still negative, but it's not as bad as the all in negative. And then you have the action point or the positive point. And so in one session, we went from him talking about what he can't do and to getting, I said, what are you good at? Oh, I'm not good at anything. So, okay. I said, what do you like to do? And he started listing a couple of things. I said, what jobs have you done? And, he went to he named like three or four jobs. And one of the ones he really liked, he said, yeah, I worked at a hotel. And he said, I was a bellman at a hotel in New York. Well, in Richmond, there's not many bellman jobs at hotels. It's just not that many type of hotels here. I said, but what experience did that bring you? And he says, well, the good news about a bellman is they do a little of everything. So I'm able to build on that. And I said, okay, so you basically went from being able to do nothing to a little bit of everything. He said, well, yeah, I never looked at it that way. And so on a resume, what can we start doing? So we changed his perspective of I can do nothing to coming up with a list of about 15 things he could do and has done and enjoy doing.
That was an amazing experience just to actually do that. I mean, from his point of view, because he'd been on this negative track for so long, to actually hear himself talking about positives must have been amazing.
Right. And that becomes a perspective that I once we transfer that perspective. Now, this was just the first session, and we only met for about an hour. So that first session of the hour, we're able to say, wow, this is pretty impressive that you can change that. And he said, but my situation hasn't changed. And I said, your situation is totally different when you walked in the room. The situation now is you now are aware of 15 things you're capable of doing and what jobs can match that. So he left feeling very, very positive. We're supposed to meet again next week. And I have a list of 10 jobs right now in the Richmond area that are hiring that meets his skills.
Wow.
And they're entry-level jobs. I've talked to three of the companies. They certainly – I have some connections with some companies I work with that sort of help me when I have clients that need work. But he's gone from no hope of working to a pretty positive chance of being able to work. And this is impressive to me.
It's very impressive to me, too. It's impressive to anybody hearing the story. And if you've been through something like that – and I actually have. I've been through that experience about the same age he was at. I wasn't without work for probably as long as he was, but there was a time in my life where I had the same issue he had, the inability to identify positives in my own life. And
exactly.
when you're in that place, that's a really bad place to be in, but it's also a tough place to break out of. So when you walked through all that stuff with him and helped him to formulate 15, I think you said 15 different things that were positive, that is
right.
An eye-opening experience in a major way. That it has such a different feel from what the rest of your life up until that point has been, that it's striking. It really captures you.
And that piece, Walt, is so important. When we get our audience to understand the action, every time we talk about the thought thought we have will lead to the actions that we need to take place. And that combination is really living in that moment of what we can do, what we're able to accomplish. And he went from no skills to I have 15 skills that he did. And, you know, being a bellman at a fancy hotel in New York City is pretty I mean, it's pretty intense. I mean, he's always going. You have a lot of strong personalities. You have to, you know, I pointed out, I said, you've dealt with all different types of people, very strong-willed people, you know, very demanding people, and you know how to deal with them. And you can't let anybody run over you, but you got to be nice at the same time. So once we were done with that session, his mom actually called me, and while I can't talk to her about anything we talked about, she said, I don't know what you did, but at least he has a whole new outlook and is very excited about your next meeting. And she actually asked if we could start meeting two times a week. And I said, that'll be up to him if he wants to do that, but I'd be glad to. That could speed up the process. But his demeanor change truly was amazing. And that's the stuff that when we get to see this works, one of the things, the pieces that's been missing from our radio show that we keep talking about of adding that other person, when you have somebody come in, you and I are big believers in this. So people hear us every week talk about the same thing and about other people, but to see a third person come in and literally start saying, wow, I can do this. It's amazing to see it happen. It really is.
That's big. And we should actually take this moment to tell people, if you are interested in being a part of the show or even part of a single segment of the show, we'd love to have you. Just get in touch by email. My email is walt@loatoday.net. Joel's is, predictably, joel@loatoday.net. Just send us a note, and you know, we'll set it up and get you on here. And even if it's only for 5 or 10 minutes, we can hear your story or hear what it is you want help with. And like you said, Joel, it changes the whole dynamic when you have that third energy on the program.
Well, and that's what we're shooting for. With the eventual the progression of this program will eventually be where that's what we do.
And we're looking forward to it too. This is the exciting part. This is what we're really driving at. I mean, you and I love the law of attraction topic and the positivity within our audience is inspired by it and enjoys it and gets something from it. But for us, the really big thing is, wow, getting other people involved and helping them and helping more and more people get into this positive space, because it's such a better place to be than the other one.
Well, and I'm shocked at the people that, you know, for a long time when I started doing this, I was almost reluctant to explain this to people because, you know, I'm like, oh, they're going to roll their eyes at me or they're going to think, you know, I very seldom get people that don't at least accept some level of this. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I said, well, if one of my great lines that I heard somebody ever tell me was, well, positive thinking just doesn't work. And I go, well, negative thinking does, right? And he was like, well, yeah. I said, you're really negative right now. And you're certainly attracting negative stuff. He goes, well, none of that is my fault. And he said, I didn't get laid off or I had nothing to do with me getting laid off. The company shut down and all these things. I said, well, you're worried about defining fault. I said, what action have you taken since then? You're still a victim of being laid off 2 years ago. That company's shut down and closed and there's nobody left. So, but you're still a victim of that. And the idea of changing your mindset and once you can walk somebody through and see where they're negative thinking has just invaded every aspect and hopefully can start changing toward the positive. One of the things I do with, I do a lot of nutritional coaching as well. And I don't make people make drastic changes in their nutritional stuff in the beginning. If I start with the real simple things, if you're smoking, we got to stop smoking. That's just, there's really nothing worse you can be doing for your life than smoking. If you're drinking sodas, you know, let's reduce the number of sodas and drink more water. So I take baby steps. You know, I don't go from McDonald's every meal to all vegan. You know, that doesn't work. Nobody's making that leap, but you'll be surprised at the people that go from all McDonald's processed food to all organic grass fed meat kind of eating in a very short period of time. Mm-hmm. They're through almost through a step process.
One of the first things that happens when somebody goes through all that, one of the first things that happens is they realize, my God, the food tastes so much better. Why is that?
Yes. Well, McDonald's the other day, and I hope they sue us. That would get a lot of media attention. Using a positive perspective on that.
Right, McDonald's at General soon, Kara.
I love that. But the concept that they were actually bragging on this show, on one of these nutritional shows, it was sort of an undercover investigation thing. They said, our chicken nuggets have 19 ingredients. They were happy that their chicken, they were like proud of their chicken nuggets having 19 ingredients. Well, you know, I count chicken, breading, and what you're cooking it in. That's pretty much, it should be three at most.
To make it form to the chicken, so there's four.
Okay, four, exactly. So four chicken ingredient to 19. That's the other 15 can't be that great.
It better all be spices, otherwise forget it.
the idea that, you know, where your food comes from and what nature or whatever your belief, God, nature, or whatever your belief system is, provided us with all the food and all the resources to eat. It also, the body responds to those things. Nutrition is amazing what it does for you. You start to feel better when you put real food in your body. Real food doesn't exist in the middle of the grocery store. Real food exists on the outside of the grocery store, on the outside edges.
You pointed that out one time, and I thought that was a really great point. All of the stuff that's bad for you is in the middle of the store where you're going to see it first. That's why they put it there.
Right. Exactly.
To find the good stuff. That's where the produce is. That's where the dairy is. That's where the meats are. That's where all the good stuff. Well, the ice cream's out there too, but we won't talk about that one.
Well, and even within ice cream, here's an interesting thing. There, you know, Breyers Ice Cream, for example, has committed to going to non-hormone added milk, organic eggs and stuff like that. So, you know, milk, eggs, and sugar or cream is pretty much the only ingredients plus the fruit. That's not a bad thing.
No, a little bit. Sugar isn't so great, but the other ingredients, they're terrific. Berries are definitely good.
And anything within reason, it's just when you add polysorbate 80 and you know all these other things, and it took me forever to pronounce polysorbate 80. I can't even pronounce the other stuff. But they have no, you know, aspartame, for example, the sweetener. The body doesn't know what that is. When it eats a piece of fruit, it knows what that is. It knows what to do with it. When it takes in aspartame, the body is like, what is aspartame? We'll just put that in the liver and store it there for a while until it figures out what it is.
Have you ever figured out what polysorbate 80 actually is? I mean, we've heard the term forever, but I know it's a preservative of some kind. Beyond that, I don't really know what the darn thing is.
I'm going out on a limb and saying it was the perfection of polysorbate 70. I just think it's a step up. I truly don't know.
Version 80. It's the software, right?
Exactly. It's 8.0 is how I look at it. But it didn't kill. I think, you know, polysorbate 1.0 probably killed a lot of people. And so they kept working until they got to polysorbate 80. Okay, we're only going to kill about 10,000 a year. It's not that bad.
And they get mildly sick in most cases. So,
right. Yeah, and birth defects and stuff like that. But it's not that big of a deal. So, you know, how I bring that back to the law of attraction, and where I love this is all that stuff, you know, our thoughts are the nutrition of our perspective.
Yes.
Our thoughts are, you know, so when we have our thoughts that are just constantly negative, that pollutes the body. The body then takes that as reality. That's the only fuel that the mind has is the negative thoughts. When you're watching the news, this, as you said, we're taping on the 18th. Today, 18th is Saturday. It's aired on next Thursday. We're just getting over these shootings and the boy getting eaten or bitten by the alligator and all this constant bad news. And if you turn on the news, that it feels like things are so bad. And
it's just the political news. You got two candidates nobody likes. It is like a record year.
It's the day of the election is who we dislike the most is who we're going to vote for. It's crazy. it goes back and forth because it's almost like a contest between the two of them. Who could say the stupidest thing? And so, you know, I have a friend that truly believes, and this is a hilarious side, he really believes that several months ago before all this started, the Clintons and Trumps are good friends. That they were probably at a dinner party having a few drinks, and Trump said, you know, what if I ran for president and I just went out and said the most ridiculous, silly things I could say, just the craziest things. I'm going to get a certain percent of the vote, Hillary. That'll take away that extreme craziness side, and you'll win. Well, he didn't have any idea the crazier he talked, the more popular he became, and really win the Republican nomination. I really don't think he thought, you know, I think they sat down and agreed to this and had no idea what was about to happen.
That's an interesting theory. I actually heard a different theory that isn't quite as funny. That's a really funny theory. But the one right. I heard was that Donald Trump initially began running with the intention of winning, but about halfway through the process, he finally realized that he wasn't going to be able to do all the things he likes to do. He wasn't going to be able to do the deals he likes to do, the business and all that kind of thing. He was going to be stuck in the White House dealing with a whole slew of negative problems that he didn't want to have anything to do with. So his subconscious just kind of took over and said, you know what? I'm going to destroy my own candidacy. And he just started putting out the spewing of negativity that was going to undermine his own candidacy, even while he is consciously saying, yes, I'm in it to win it.
Well, and again, it's having that effect that, you know, it depends on which day when the Republican Party is simply trying to distance themselves and they're like, well, we can't even comment on it. It's amazing that's their candidate. I mean, it really is. And how that applies, you know, as we're saying to the law of attraction, you see that what our mindset goes to in our political system right now, it isn't who we're going to vote for, is who we're not going to vote for.
Oh yeah.
And you know, that's the amazing part, because you listen to it, and I truly cannot imagine, this is not a political, you know, commentary other than say you and I happen to both be very libertarian, which is less government type thing. So, you know,
yeah, just to announce any bias.
It really is. But the concept for these, it just, who is the most unlikely person to get it is almost who's going to get it. Nobody wants either of these two people, and it's crazy to see that happen. And I have no idea who's going to win. Whichever side wins, it's going to be equally as divided. Our country is horribly divided. And what I'm hoping, that if we could ever get a candidate, what Bill Clinton did and what Ronald Reagan did, but very different men, by the way, and what they believed in. Mm-hmm. But what they both did is they had the ability to go before the American people. They spoke well, and they made you proud to be Americans. And that helped. There was a positive side to both men. They both had a mm-hmm. negative side, I realized, but there was a positive side to both men.
There was at least positivity.
Yeah. So, you know, the law of attraction invades politics and it invades every area of our life. So what I have had to do is I've tried really hard to turn off the news. I'm informed. I will look at a couple of newspaper articles here and there but I try to turn off the news when I can, because
because it's so easy to get inundated by the news and to make it a deliberate policy that you're not going to let the news and all of its incessant negativity overcome your psyche, your way of looking at things, your way of dealing with everyday problems. Because quite honestly, you listen to the negativity on the news and all of a sudden, unbeknownst to yourself, you start adopting negative habits. You don't even realize you're doing it because the news is training you to once again fall into that negative track again. And we know how easy it is to fall into that.
Well, you look at, we mentioned the young man, the little boy that sadly was killed by the alligator in Walt Disney World.
Right.
Immediately, first of all, let's be clear. That's a horrible story. What a loss to that family. And I grieve their loss. I lost a son, and I know just how horrible that is. However, that event was an accident. Alligators exist. They're in Florida everywhere. In every body of water, almost always alligator exists. There's very few people killed by alligators. Alligators generally don't have that ability to They're not normally out being predators. They don't normally just go out and destroy things. They're very, you know, he probably thought it was a small animal and ended up with his boy, and unfortunately the boy died. The point is, immediately you had everybody blaming the parents, everybody blaming Walt Disney World, everybody blaming, instead of just, it was a horrible accident. And let's mourn the boy and let's move on. In the gunman type thing, the news immediately went to, well, this is a Islamic terrorist. This is a gay bashing. Oh, it's both. It's this, that, and the other. There's 49 people that are dead from that. Let's take a deep breath. We'll see where all this comes from. Let's mourn those that have lost their lives. And let's try not to focus on it because, you know, after watching the news next week, I'm automatically, you think, okay, I need to go get 15 guns. I need to lock myself in the house, you know, put fence around my yard from alligators. I need to, you know, do all that. And it's just, it's not reasonable thinking when, you know, more people will die in the state of Florida this year by lightning strikes than alligator deaths. And I don't know what we do with those lightning strikes. Do we outlaw those? Or I don't understand. Let's put some laws against lightning strikes.
I suppose put a fence up. We have to put up more lightning rods to attract the lightning. Yes. And keep it from hitting us. I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. So, so within that, our nation, our way of thinking has truly created this world of negative thinking. It's put to you every day negatively.
And we should put this into a perspective, I think, at this point, because your point is dead on. You are absolutely right. The thing that the whole scenario that we just laid out overlooks is that most of what happens in life is actually really good. But we get so focused, news focuses us on the negativity so strongly that we actually get to the point where we think that's all there is. That's what our subconscious thinks. That's what our conscious minds often think. And as a result, we start to make new decisions in our personal lives that are directly impacted by the idea all there is negativity, threat, insecurity, all the things that we want to fear.
That is such a, and that's that next page piece of, we understand there is so much positive going on.
Yes.
One of the things that I pointed out, and you have to be careful pointing these out because people get offended really easily nowadays, but the day after those 49 people were killed, blood donations around in Orlando and around the United States was at an all-time high.
Right.
It's amazing what happened the next several days. I mean, I gave blood last week. A lot of people went out and they gave blood. I can't do anything to help the victims, but I can give blood. Some of the Virginia blood was taken down to Florida when they needed it. But the point is, we could go do these things. A lot of people gave blood last week. A lot of people came together. I know even some very hardened right-wing Southern Baptist types who have never really been – ever able to say anything kind about gay people. I've noticed sort of a change last week of, we really mourn the loss of these people, that it sort of got support from people that we didn't really see support for. And so, I mean, there were some positives in the response, but that gets overlooked with the negative. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whose fault is this? And why didn't the FBI know this? And why didn't, you know, all the valid points, and we can have all those debates at some point, but that clear negative thinking, when you look at the positive and we look at all that could come out of this, I'd mentioned several weeks ago, about this young man that was, you know, it's a very negative start to the story, that, you know, it was a 6-year-old boy that was killed in South Florida, and it was a horrible event, and the mom and dad were devastated. He was kidnapped and the little boy was decapitated, and it was a nasty event. And there's nothing positive about that event, but the response to that event was, that was John Walsh's son, Adam. And John Walsh's son, Adam, was, you know, amazing young man that made, his dad's response to that was to go change the world. We have Amber Alerts because of John Walsh's dad. We have, it was named after another child, but he started a movement of registering sexual predators. He changed. He has saved literally, I don't know if there's a number you could put on the number of kids that have been saved because of John Walsh's response to his son's death. the negative of his son's death will never be turned into a positive. But John's response to that turned into an incredible positive. And the world is filled with that. You know, the World Trade Center falling down, horrible event, but tons of people became heroes that day. And they rose above what they thought they could do. You know, the idea that people saved other people, they came together. There is positive to exist within everything. Those stories get lost, and we get stuck on the negative side all the time. The negative has more power right now. It doesn't have more power. It's given more attention, and a lot of people think it has more power. The positive has an amazing response when we're allowed to implement it.
And in fact, it isn't just the good things that happen after a negative event. One of the things that we lose sight of really, really quickly whenever there's an extreme negative event is how rare they are. They don't happen. That's why they're called news. They're news because they are not happening all the time. And all of a sudden, this thing that never happens before suddenly happened. The rest of the time, great things happen. The simple fact is people are terrified of terrorism, for example. They're terrified of terrorism in this country, which means the terrorists in that sense are winning, by the way. But they're terrified of it. Think about how many people live in America. Roughly 310 million people now live in America. Of those 310 million, I guarantee you 309 plus million of them not only have never been a victim of a terrorist attack, but never will be a victim of a terrorist attack. That means that a tiny fraction of 1% have actually been a victim of a terrorist attack. Are those terrorist attacks terrible? Absolutely, yes. Is that the norm? Not even close. It's not even close to being the norm. It's so far away from the norm that it's ridiculous. So you really don't have to focus on it. There is so much more to focus on. That's great. All you have to do is decide, you know what? I'm not going to get sucked in by the 0.1%. I'm going to focus on the 99.9%.
And Walt, that's where I wake up. I try to wake up and get people to see when we focus within our lives, there's positives and negatives taking place within our lives all the time. The majority, when that you allow it to become the majority, if you look at the blessings we have, look at what you have around the house, look at all the stuff that you have going for you. Yes, things might not be going perfectly, but you fix yourself first and the rest of the stuff comes about. There is not a destination of happiness. Happiness takes place now. When you decide, I want to be, the power of happiness exists right now. You don't wait for something to happen to be happy. When you become happy, the other stuff starts to happen.
That was a real revelation, by the way. The idea that you can actually choose happiness. Like your friend, the one who was the victim of being laid off. It's like his attitude was, it happened to me. I didn't have any power over it. And so many of us, including myself up until a few years ago, concluded that I had no power over my own happiness. Until I finally started to experiment and found, oh my God, I can actually make myself happy. That was an astonishing insight. I couldn't even conceive of that 10 years ago, but it turns out that it's true.
Well, because the news or what society, and I don't want to keep blaming the news, but it's what society demands. The news only puts on what society pays attention to.
Right.
Sells us on the concept that we are powerless over this, that we need to cower from terrorism. We need to not, there's no really real reason to be happy. And that's the feeling they put out there. And the concept that there are more people that will die in 2 days of opiate overdose right now in America than were killed in these terrorist attacks. Mm-hmm. That doesn't get a lot of media attention because it's not as glamorous. It's like, oh, well, yeah, that's doesn't matter. But the reality is we get stuck on the stuff that does draw the media attention. Let an airplane crash and everybody's focused for days. CNN is like addicted to airplane crashes. They'll spend a week on an airplane crash.
Oh, they'll have a control room. They'll have maps on the wall. They'll have everything.
Oh, you'll love this. The last one that happened, and we're not making fun of airplane crashes. We're making fun of CNN's responses to airplane crashes.
Right.
Again, CNN, you want to sue us? We'd love that too.
we could use the attention. You know, the publicity would be wonderful.
I literally heard them say, an hour after this airplane crash, one of their experts gets on and they said, we have a diagram of what possibly could have happened. Yeah. We have no information, but we're going to just
we'll just invent the news.
Let's just go randomly make something. This could have happened. And even the expert was like, we're really guessing here. And why are we guessing what happened? It's just the fact is an airplane went down. We don't know anything other than that. We'll update you as we know more information. Oh, no. Breaking news. We have a new diagram. It wasn't breaking news. We got a new diagram because we now saw the radar. So now we can actually make an educated guess of what happened more than likely.
And it's just the definition of an educated guess is that our education is in the news cycle educational arena in which we learn how to create news items. So an educated guess means we are educated into believing that if we talk about this enough, we'll make it a news item.
Right. And our show is built on the opposite of that. It's built on the what if we applied and what our goal is to implement into our society that same concept on the other side. What if we had daily positive stories? What if we made news about the guy that goes and gets a job that hadn't had a job and he's now all the great things that happens after that? People whose lives they thought were over that are changed by this. It's amazing. Why don't we do that?
That's so far outside of the norm. I mean, that can't possibly be news.
Right. It's not that I would love within our show, in my vision, when I'm planning my show, our show, my vision is we're going to be on a morning drive time slot somewhere, preferably one of the satellite radios around the country. And as people are getting on their way to work, they can listen to us and they can hear about the positive. They can walk in. If you walk in your job with the right attitude every morning, it's the difference of everything. Instead of walking into the negative politics or, you know, I heard somebody the other day that was complaining to me, and if they're not my patients, I try to refrain from giving advice. I just try to ignore this. But I heard within a few seconds, I was at the gym, and he said, oh, I got to go to work tomorrow. And I just couldn't help it. I go, really? I said, why don't you just not go? He said, well, I got to eat. I said, well, you. So in other words, you get to go to work. I said, you think there's people out there that wish they had your job? And he goes, well, yeah. I said, they would be saying, I get to go to a new job. And he said, I know, I need to change that way of thinking. You need to really fast because that's how negative things start to happen. Yeah. Is he has a great job. He makes good money. I get to go to work is such a different statement than I have to go to work.
And yeah, because otherwise, literally, he could be without that job in a year. That can definitely happen if you've got the attitude that, oh, I have to go to this job again.
Right. And it, I know the last company that I worked for, I had was working very hard. I was a director of a residential treatment program. And while I enjoyed the actual work with the client, the politics and the other side of the business, working with the staff, that was like pulling teeth for me. And I found myself, you know, I'm always early to everything I go to. I'm always on, you know, and I found myself just pulling into work right on time, sitting in the car before I got to work going, oh, I don't want to do this. And I had no intention of leaving, but my attitude toward it was a really good paying job. And I'm very grateful for the job, but in the middle of it, I realized that I got to adjust my attitude toward this job or it's not going to be. And sure enough, within a few weeks of me even realizing that the owner of the company and I had a big blow up and you know, I left. Now, I wasn't intending on leaving, but it ended up being a much better thing for me and ended up doing, and thank God it did happen. And I never doubted for a moment it was going to be okay. I was so far into my law of attraction stuff. And you remember that transition for me. But I saw how I brought about the end of that job because I'm like, if I hear one more time, you know, the complaining about staff, this person said this, and this person did this. And my patients were never the problem. It was always the staff that was just so negative. And you can imagine, I was making trying desperately to infuse a positive spin on all this stuff. But again, a lot of negativity behind the scenes, and it just wasn't healthy.
And so many things in that story. I just got to stop here for just a minute, because there's so many things in that story that you brought up that are so good. First of all, you brought up the fact that you attracted the end of it by focusing on just how much you didn't enjoy the daily process of dealing with the politics and so forth. Right. Second, you detailed how, despite that fact and despite the fact that you lost the job, to this day, you feel like it was a good job. In fact, it was a great job, and it was a great experience to go through. So despite the fact you had a negative experience, you found a positive way to spin that. And you're talking about all these different ways that whole experience, you kept trying to find a positive, kept trying to work on that positive, which didn't necessarily keep the job for you. In fact, it didn't keep the job, but it did give you a better place to be in when it came to attracting more of what you wanted. And in fact, you haven't gotten to this part of the story yet. It got you into a much better situation because you did all three of those things.
Right. And recapping sort of what you said, my perspective of the job, even when I lost it, I was very angry at that moment. As you can imagine, I thought I was, I can't believe this is happening without any. I was with the company for 5 years. I was director, and it just happened literally within a 2-minute period. However, without that job, I would not have made the connections that I made. I have made incredible connections that are people of my colleagues now. I get probably 50% of my referrals are from people that I actually worked with at that facility.
Wow.
The training that facility allowed me to go get was amazing. They did a lot for me, and I even told the owner, and we have since become, we've certainly talked several times, and I've done told him how thankful I was and how grateful I was for that time, and I made it clear I'm not looking to come back, but I am so grateful for the experience, and I mean that sincerely, because I wouldn't be where I was at today if it wasn't for that stepping stone. It was just time to move on from that, and when I left, I literally didn't have, and take a little time out here. I left on a Sunday. I quit / was fired or whatever term it was. I actually resigned as he was firing me, kind of thing, on the phone. So it doesn't really matter. He was going to fire me if I didn't resign. And that following Thursday, I was scheduled to be on a vacation anyway, to go down to Florida. And as you know, my bench, where I make all my decisions and what my book is based on, The Bench by Joel Elston, I was already scheduled to be down there. And so that timing of that was awesome. And the good news is I never doubted for a moment that the next step was going to be even better than the last step. And that piece was really amazing. And I didn't have, when I left to go to Florida, I didn't have an office. My plan was to go into private practice. While I was in Florida, I got several calls. My good friend, a doctor, who said, we have a space in my building. We want you to fill it. I'll refer to you. Within 3 weeks, I tried to take off a month, but I couldn't take off a month. The calls were coming in. I was seeing 17 clients in 3 weeks after I left my other job.
Wow.
Which is amazing.
That's astonishing.
It shouldn't happen that way. I was prepared to go a year before I would see it.
Precisely, it shouldn't happen that way if you followed the same kind of behavior patterns most people follow. But you didn't. And that's what made the difference.
And that's my perspective toward it. I knew this was going to come along. And I was having people call, say, I heard you left this company. Can you do private counseling with me now? And I wasn't allowed to do that while I was still with the company. I said, of course. So I developed this, and it just – It was amazing. So I was grateful for having been there. I was grateful for what that company had given me. I was grateful that this is an amazing transformation that I wanted to happen anyway, but I was not going to press the button on my own. I wasn't, because I was loyal to that company, and I never thought about resigning until all that, until that event happened. It was something that was really, really a great experience. I thought I was going to be with them for years. But now that I always wanted to be in private practice, then the next step, Walt, was I had been working on my book, The Bench, for years up to that point. For years I've been working on that book. And now I had the opportunity to actually finish it. I finished the book, and it created a whole nother set of circumstances, which kept going better and better and better. So all of this happened, and I have a chain of events for years before that that happened that are the same way. Everything kept happening to move me where I needed to be, as long as I could keep my perspective where I needed to be. And I often tell people that you know, you're not going to just go through this and do it perfectly. But the piece that I was actually shocked by, on a Sunday night, after I realized, okay, I don't have a job. That when I left the other company, I don't have a job. I was going to get up for the first time on a Monday morning for I don't know how many years and really have nowhere to be. That was a weird feeling, but it wasn't a bad feeling. And I will say, because of my positive perspective and doing what I've been able to do, I wasn't, you know, blessed to be in a financial position that if I didn't work for a year, it didn't even matter. I mean, I would have been fine. So that takes, again, I will admit, that takes a lot of pressure off.
Oh, but absolutely.
I had that. But I had that cushion because of how I viewed things. So it all came together. And, you know, my next step is I do public speaking and I do a lot of motivational stuff, and I pick up and while I'm very pleased with my practice, I'm working on my second book. I'm also getting more and more speaking engagements. I do believe this radio show in the future will be a big factor in my life. I really do. I envision that. And with that,
I think it's fair to say it's already a big factor in our life.
That's a great point.
Both of us have talked about how much impact it has just doing the show, even without
having to. It lifts us up every week. Exactly. Yeah.
But I think you're talking about going to the next level, which I think is going to happen pretty soon myself. And when that happens, that's going to be unbelievable. I don't think we can even imagine totally what it's going to be like, but it's going to be terrific.
But and one of the things that I want you to, what I want our audience to know is, by taking this message, I'll see anywhere from 30 to 40 patients a week right now, and that's great. I'm glad I'm able to help.
Yep.
But when we get it to the radio audience, when you can literally affect millions of people in a positive way, that energy comes together. It comes together, and it feeds back on you.
What
a powerful thing this will be. So I eventually see weekend seminars attached to our radio show. I see, you know, bringing other law of attraction people into seminars and creating, you know, I have a vision of all that, you know, and I see that is where this is going to go. And you're saying, well, what does that matter? Your vision. That's how we do it. The law of attraction builds on what we're thinking, what we're feeling. And, you know, I've seen it work in my life. I've seen it work in everybody's life that has really applied it. And as we move forward, you need to have a vision. I want our audience to really start having a vision of what's happening. I want to see that. What do I want? What do I really want? Quit thinking of what you don't want to happen and start looking at what you do want to happen. And the universe will fill the void. It just hates a vacuum. So when I really believe the radio show is, you know, I see myself, I went as far as there's a radio station not too horribly far from me. And I said, that's probably the studio that I'm going to go to. And Walt will be the newest studio near. And that will be our, you know, I eventually may have to talk you and your wife to move down to Florida. We'll just get our own local
studio. I'll do it at the bench.
Yeah, do it at the bench. Can you imagine? Live from the bench. Would that be awesome?
It would be awesome, yeah. That'd be a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah, do it live from the bench. And I can see that happening. But we everybody listening, everybody, you have the strongest force available. The superpower that humans were given above every other creature is the law, the advantage of the law of attraction. Knowing it, the law of attraction takes place. It's knowing how to use it being the key.
Right.
We controlling your perspective, controlling your thoughts. Your thoughts are the most powerful tools that we exhibit. I mean, there's nothing we have that are more powerful than our thoughts. And the epiphany that our reality is not dictated to us, it is created by our perspective, is a great awakening. And most people have to think about that and say, what does that mean? I was brought up in a world where my reality was dictated to me, I believed. here's your reality. It's dictated to you, and you respond that way. Versus, no, my perspective creates that reality. I always love to share uplifting stories about our, you know, I do a lot of work with kids, and I've recently been approved to foster slash adopt again down the road. And I'm in the process of at they're sort of presenting situations to me, and because of my experience, I get presented every situation. You know, it's like, okay, let's you know, I can't take 18 children. I, you know, so they're wanting me to, they're like, Joel can handle that. I go, no, Joel don't need that.
There are limits to what Joel can do. Yes.
Right. But what I do every week is I still offer a couple of sessions to foster care kids or kids that are, I keep using foster care kids because they're often the most overlooked and stuck in the system. And I had another epiphany this week with I had a child that had another epiphany this week. And this is a 14-year-old girl who had been through horrors in her home with her stepdad. And she'd been taken into foster care and she'd gotten into trouble. So I met with her, and because of the way society is, I'm very careful. I'm careful, always careful when I'm around children. You don't put yourself in any position for problems, of course, but especially when I'm around a female, just in today's society. So I will not meet with her unless there was a caseworker until I'm very comfortable with her and making sure that, you know, and that was not on her. It's just the way society is today and right. Protecting myself.
Right.
And so the caseworker was sitting with her and we were talking and the caseworker was sort of a drive-by casualty of the law of attraction in a sense, because at first she was just sort of there to observe.
Right.
But I noticed about halfway through, she's involved in the process now. And she's very like, cool. Oh my God. Yeah. So my goal for a long time has been to, you know, educate foster care workers, you know, social workers, addiction workers of what you and I have been talking about for so long. And so this young lady, as she told me her story, and it's a horrible story, and I won't share it because it's just not really, it's just disgusting. However, I said, so all of this has happened, and are you defined by that? So this is you. And she goes, well, obviously nobody wants me. I'm too old to be adopted. I'm too old for this. I'm too old for that. And I said, you're 14. I said, your situation is, you've been told all these things. I said, but the reality of your situation is you are in so much more control than you realize. And we started walking through that idea that she gets to, again, label all this stuff. And she said, I have that power within me. And I said, of course. I said, look at your situation. What you've been told all these things. And I said, your caseworker's here. I said, I'm not trying to throw her under the bus, but she's been told all these things about you. And so everybody just assumed all these things about you, but you get to choose if they're true or not. I can't help what other people have done to you, but you can help what you're doing to yourself and your perspective. So the caseworker is now about 3/4 of the way through is now taking notes. She's wow. over here taking notes.
And, wow. And that's fantastic.
Yeah. So the young lady's like, well, what do I have to do? And I said, instantly, right now, at this moment, you can choose your perspective. Who are you? And she said, well, I said, how are your grades? And she said, well, they're terrible. And I said, why? And she said, well, I skip school all the time. I said, are you a bad student? And she says, well, yeah. I said, so you can choose to be a good student. I said, education is the quickest way out of a situation. I'm not saying you have to have an education, but in your situation, this deck stacked against you. I said, but here's the advantages you have. You're in foster care. The state will pay for your college. There's all kinds of stuff. And I said, if you need me to be your advocate, trust me, we'll get you all kinds of stuff and all kinds of support. Why don't you plan on going to being a doctor and changing the world? Why don't you, you're very smart. Why don't you do all this stuff? She's like, but I can't. I said, why? Well, because I've messed up. I said, nobody cares about that. I said, in fact, that you will turn that into a credential. We'll turn that into, you know how many people will listen to you to say, I pulled myself out of foster care and became a doctor? I said, you talk about front page of people would love that story.
Absolutely.
Front page news.
Hey, we want to have her on the show.
I told the foster care workers that I got to get these kids on the show. We'll be nationwide radio real quick if I can get these kids. If I can get Bob on the show, if you remember Bob.
Oh,
Bob will have us. He'll have to be our third host, actually.
Hey, so, really? Yeah. Yeah. Talk about a third energy. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So the power within that session is where all three of us left that session feeling better. She felt that, the caseworker said, if you were in charge of social services, we'd have an entirely different world. I said, but you could be in charge of social service. Why can't you do that? And she said, I can't. And so, but
so she sat through this whole thing and yeah. She's just like anybody else. She's got to learn to take that control.
Right. And she, I said, it was one of those events where two people were sitting there. The reason that you and I stick with it every week, first of all, if nobody's listening, this is great for Walt and Joel. We enjoy this. This is fun. I never leave one of these shows when I don't feel better. But that's just two people hearing this. Imagine the power of hundreds of thousands of millions of people eventually feel this way. Talk about changing our world and changing everything. That's where it takes place. The power of the positive is so far more dense than the power of the negative. It's just, we haven't been, we it's hard to believe because we're told that's not true. We're told that we're at doom. We're this, we're that. And it's so far from the truth. We live in amazing times. I have, on my trusty phone right here, I have more information available to me than at any point in time in history. I have every piece of information. It's amazing what's available.
It's astonishing. It's amazing what you can do with this technology. It's terrific.
Yeah,
we're doing with technology right now. We're recording video and audio of us talking about this wonderful stuff so that we can do exactly what you're talking about, reach a larger audience by putting this on YouTube, and we're already on PRN, and eventually get perhaps onto iHeartRadio and anywhere else we can get. I mean, the technology is amazing about what it's just doing for us, let alone what it's doing for the rest of the world.
Right. I want our audience to understand we are all being sold a bill of goods. There is no better time to be alive than this moment. There's no better time because this is the only moment to really exist. Yesterday's over. Tomorrow's not promised to us. Right now is the only relevant moment. And let's live life.
It's a great time. It's not just, it's not like, okay. It's not like,
no, it's great.
It could be better. This is great. This is a great time.
Yeah, you can focus on, our government's doing that. Forget the government. How you're feeling, how you're doing right now, what we have, the information we're available. Downstairs, I have a TV that is it's a 65-inch curved 4K. I don't know all the numbers and stuff that go along with it. I turned it on the other night, and Netflix has actually some 4K programming, and it was so dense and so perfect, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is – it was – I never had seen a picture, because my normal DirecTV feed doesn't have the definition to meet the TV. Mm-hmm. But Netflix has a few of those shows, and I looked at it, and I was like, oh, my gosh. It the technology, I thought high def was impressive. That super high def is just crazy stuff. And in 10 years, we're going to be laughing at how poor the super high def was.
Yeah, the technology is going so fast. It's just
it is. It is awesome because we're using it. You and I are using this for good. We're using it to take it out there. Now, again, we could have let all of this defeat us. We could have not done this, we kept plugging forward, kept fixing all the bot, had to go fix all the stuff I messed up trying to get it done last week, but we got it done. We're using it. We're feeling good. I want this message. I'm so excited about the opportunity of the future for us, not just for us, but what we can bring.
I got good news for you, Joel.
What?
The good news is we get to do this again next week. Unfortunately,
absolutely.
We can't do it anymore this week because we're out of time, but we get to do this again next week and the week after that. I mean, this is going to be great.
It is. It's so exciting. And this is such a great time. And today's show was very uplifting, by the way.
It was. It's been fabulous. And as usual, your stories were wonderful and they contribute tremendously. So that's why I'm looking forward to doing this next week. And we hope you join us next week, too. In fact, join us on YouTube. Watch us as we record on Saturday mornings. You can come to our page and like us. And Joel, it's been a pleasure as usual.
Thank you, Walt. Great to talk to you, buddy.
Good talking to you too. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody. It might